Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and this is Carl from ISF and Deviant Legion. Glad you could join us today for our commentary watch. And can I just say, furries and Bigfoot, furries and Bigfoot and Christmas, oh my! Furries and Bigfoot and Christmas, oh my! Had a little bit of a brain fart there, guys. Give me a break. We are going to be doing a commentary watch on Pottersville. Pottersville is a film that came out in 2018 and quickly died at the box office. It's a very strange Christmas movie with furries and Bigfoot and Christmas, and It's a Wonderful Life takeoff, and a basically piss take on Steve Irwin and that type of person, and even a shout out to Freaks. And I didn't even watch the whole movie. So both Rachel and I are sort of a virgin on this one. Rachel is certainly a virgin. So Rachel, what do you think of the idea of this?
Well, you know, before I knew what it was, which I still don't even know what it is, it's still just furries and Bigfoot and Christmas. I've heard people mention it a number of times before. So I'm interested. My question for you, Carl, and this is something I've been meaning to ask you, is what exactly is your definition of furries? Because when I think of furries, I'm thinking of, like, you know, people in fur suits and sexual gratification and whatnot.
That's exactly what we've got. We've got Ron Perlman in a chipmunk suit.
I think you just made my life. I have a deep love for Ron Perlman, that big blocky-headed motherfucker. Oh, my God. I love him. So I will watch just about anything with Ron Perlman in it just because it's got Ron Perlman in it. Like, I love staring at his weird-looking cartoon head.
I love Ron Perlman. I absolutely adore him. Him and Danny Trejo are like brothers from another mother. Seriously, both of them. I just adore them.
Danny Trejo actually runs bakeries. He has a chain of bakeries.
And taco shops, too.
Yes. Like, that man is my spirit animal.
But I tell you what, as far as a Christmas movie for the Incredibly Strange film set, I can't think of a better one. Seriously. So let's set I'm setting my volume down now.
And we would probably need to mention that this movie is on Netflix. We've been finding some good Netflix offerings this season. I'm kind of surprised we haven't been on OKRU for the past couple of episodes. This is Pottersville on Netflix, and I'm kind of excited to see where this goes. I'm reading the byline. A man's drunken romp in a gorilla suit gets him mistaken for Bigfoot, drawing media attention and tourist dollars to his struggling small town.
There you go. And that's what it is. And are we ready, Miss Rachel?
I am ready.
Okay, I'm at 000.
Me too.
We're going to start 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. And we hit play on go. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go.
Badass eagle.
Yes. Winging a prayer.
Oh. Intro of Storyland Pictures always reminded me of Dark City for some reason.
Yes.
Michael Shannon, very nice. Judy Greer.
Now, is this not a cool song? I don't think it's the best sung song, but it's a great lesser-known Christmas R&B tune.
I was just thinking that because they have a speaker up at work now, and I lost Whamageddon yesterday. For the first time in years, I lost Whamageddon because they put the speaker on the just cheesy Christmas music. Carl, you know I was suffering. I was so glad we didn't sell
it. How many times did you hear Mariah Carey?
Just twice.
Oh,
and I didn't have to
enough.
Listen to it the whole night. It was just for the first 3 hours I was there. So I lost
Whamageddon. And what about Celine Dion?
I can't remember if I heard any Celine.
Well, I'll tell you. If you hear Celine Dion for 30 seconds, that's 30 seconds too much.
I want to throw her French-Canadian head at her. Oh, my God, I hate Celine Dion. I'm sorry. And I hate it even more that my favorite sketch from, like, early Saturday Night Live, not early, like early when I was younger, was the "I'm Celine Dion and I am the best singer in the world." You can't find that sketch anymore because it was SNL and they buried it because of Celine Dion. So mad.
So the
All
title
right,
of
so
this movie is Pottersville. And
we see
that should give you a hint. That should give you a hint. Does it give you any hints?
I mean, it tells me that they're in Pottersville, but so did all the street signs and shit.
But Pottersville is a direct reference to It's a Wonderful Life.
I told you last week I've never seen that one.
Okay, well, this is a takeoff on It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, I know the story.
Look at that
store.
Is that store not fucking awesome?
It really
Little
is.
Restaurant.
I was just going to say that. Of course, he's the only one still open.
Right. I've done that 100 times. Thousands of times, actually.
I have never once done that in my life. I do not know the struggle of shoveling snow.
No. Oh, good God.
I do know the struggle of digging ditches and stuff so that you can pack sandbags and prevent flooding, but
yeah,
never
okay.
had to shovel snow.
So you got your own version of that.
Yeah, yeah. Maynard. So I did not, I'm going to go ahead and say this first off. I did not expect this movie to be so pretty.
Yes.
Like coming into this, I expected something a lot far less production value.
Mm-hmm.
But wow. And oh, I love her.
Guess what? She's the hero.
Oh, my Just God. I love this movie even more. Wow. Like, I think I'm going to like this, honestly. It's got, like, a handful of really odd people that I genuinely adore seeing. Me.
And him
is De Niro.
No, it's not De Niro.
That's
Ian.
Bucket.
Hold on, I'll tell you who it is. The guy from Deadwood.
Yeah. Isn't he the guy that played Wednesday in, what the fuck was it? How come I can't remember?
Neil
Gaiman. Yeah.
Yes, he
was
in that.
What the fuck? Why can't I remember the name? I love the book.
But it's Ian McShane is who it is, who I love, by the way. Love Ian. He's also in the John Wick.
Yeah, I fucking love those movies. Did he just give him a tiny, like, antique bottle of liquor?
Yes. I love him.
Jesus Christ, is he related to Michael C. Hall? They both have such that, like, expressive, angular, dead-in-the-eyes
face. Well, that's Michael Shannon. I first saw him in the freaking film The Bug. Bug is what it's called. And he's a great actor. Take Shelter. But I never expected him to do something like this, which just shows you what kind of actor he is. Because a lot of people take chances in this film.
Yeah, but they're the people that I generally like when they take weird chances. I mean, so far. So like I said, I've seen Ron Perlman in a lot of weird stuff.
There was one where he played the whole role in drag. I love him. Now, that's the kind of house my parents had. That I grew up in. That's the kind of house. You know, this reminds me a lot of Bradford, Pennsylvania, the town.
Say, it's calling a dog.
Soft howling.
Oh, dear.
Here you go.
Sheriff Jack.
I told you there were furries.
I'm a wolf. Jesus Christ. Oh, good Lord, Carl, what did you do to me? I love her too. I'm a wolf. Doesn't make any sense as a squirrel. This is we'll already know. Oh my Lord. I'm kind of a big deal around here. I am in love with this movie already. I don't see how it's going to get even weirder, and I am so excited.
One of my worst horrible Christmas.
Yeah.
Songs. Of course, remember, he got the moonshine from Ian McShane. So he is drunk. Oh.
Okay.
Breathing poop instead. I like that.
See?
So imagine if your significant other was having an affair as a furry, that would fuck you up.
Yeah. Hey, man, I just want to say that drunk, like, convincingly drunk is one of the hardest things to act.
Yes.
Like,
it is. And he's a great actor. Michael Shannon has been in so many things. Revolutionary Road.
He's been replaced by the Easter Bunny's evil twin. And Jesus Christ, where is this store? I want to go there.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the back at the restaurant. I so want to eat at that restaurant.
Oh, fuck yeah, because there's only like two or three tables in there. Yes.
Yeah.
There's the there's this Mexican restaurant in the back of a grocery store out in Southwest Little Rock out here, and it's only got just a few tables, and they don't speak any English, but Jesus Christ, it is some of the best food. Do you belong to a furry sex club? That place is fucking adorable. I want to go there so bad.
Have you ever had moonshine?
Actually, yes. And I've had real moonshine. And of course, you know, I used to work in liquor and I sold, you know, legal moonshines. But for my uncle's wedding, he went back out to the farmland that he and my mom were raised on, and they had a neighbor that was, like, crazy and buried stuff on their property. And he found one of the bottles of moonshine that the guy buried on the property, like, when my mom and uncle were kids. And we cracked that open for his wedding and all passed it around.
Well, my mother's cousin was a moonshiner in the Uniontown Mountains, which is south of Pittsburgh. And while he was still alive, we would get a bottle of moonshine and a bottle of dandelion wine. And it's the only time I ever saw my mother drunk because she loved the dandelion wine. But also in Bradford, it was very common. So I've had moonshine several times.
Well, and it does count technically, you know, it depends on what you're considering moonshine, because I've had, like, more homemade alcohol than you could ever imagine in your life, because I've been involved in a lot of different, you know, historic reenactment societies. And so these people, like, research how to do this stuff. So, I mean, for my wedding, my brief marriage, a number of years ago, one of my gifts was a case of homemade mead that my godfather made. And boy, that was some easy drinking, beautiful stuff.
You know what a gorilla would do to a bunny?
Yeah, I love the homemade furry costume, the drunk furry costume.
Uh-oh.
Oh. It's so pretty. I like how she is overdoing it so much.
Oh, yeah. Now, I love the look on his face. Oh, shit. How stoned are you? That reminds me of an old friend of mine from college. Not TC.
Oh, my Lord. He's like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Absolutely.
Okay. He was out there drinking from the little boy peeing fountain. Hey, man, when you're raging drunk thirsty, any water will do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would definitely drink from the little boy peeing fountain.
So have I hit a home run so far?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking this is probably my new favorite Christmas movie.
You know, I heard about this film a couple years ago, and I've been trying to find it because, come on, Bigfoot Christmas Furries. Okay, you got to watch that movie. I don't care. We're part of Incredibly Strange Films. That's like our friggin' wheelhouse. Seriously.
This is like our bread and butter, man. God. His head exists inside of its own reality.
Yeah.
I feel a lot better now. Oh, my God.
So he was about to say it was him, but now
like, oh shit, what am I gonna do?
Real, you know, sort of sad sack.
Yeah. He said he took a chance for the first time in his life and he wanted to smell the wind and he smelled poop instead.
So, of course, the whole thing about, you know, now becoming a Bigfoot, selling Bigfoot merchandise and so on and so forth.
Of course. I mean, I saw that coming, but let's see how this goes because they're not exactly taking the normal route with this one.
No, they're not. And I got to give them credit for that.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing is, we watch lots of Christmas movies, and of course, Sam Irvin and Hallmark, they have a style. There's Christmas horror movies. There's Christmas comedies with, you know, the family in disarray and all that. But this one is something I hadn't run across before.
Yeah. to it.
And so now he thinks, okay, so, if you're given this situation and it helps the town, would you do it?
Oh, fuck yeah. Look at this adorable place.
Now, think of the beginning, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, where he does the snow and he's the one that gives people a break when they don't have the money and that. Keep that in mind.
Oh, definitely.
That's sort of the whole thing about It's a Wonderful Life, too, with George Bailey. He always wants to leave the town, but never does because he wants to help the people there. You'll love this.
Okay, what's going on? Oh, the Steve Irwin guy.
Uh-huh.
Is it the Steve Irwin guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I love that. God, why can't I remember his name right now? I fucking love him.
Well, hold on. I will get you the whole cast. Okay.
Oh, my Lord. I love every single person in this movie. That's
yes.
It. But see, I fell in love with him during Reno 911 and then started seeing him in everything else and just like, oh, my God, I love this man.
See, does this not have the perfect cast?
Oh, absolutely.
That's Thomas Lennon, by the way. Thomas Lennon.
Yes. He was actually married to the lady that played Weigel in Reno 911. And they've actually acted together a number of times because they were part of a comedy troupe together that was the cast of Reno 911.
Mm-hmm. Now, Christina Hendricks as his wife. Judy Greer as Parker, his workmate. Of course, we've already mentioned the Ian McShane. And Elena Hurst as Stacy Gutierrez.
Yeah, the reporter.
I love this. It's a Ted Deer. He's telling me. By the way,
I'm sorry.
Ian McShane is awesome in this. I love his character. Because it's the difference between a fake person and a real person. And Ian McShane's the real one.
Oh, I love Ian McShane in anything. Like, He's another one of those people that I will watch in pretty much anything. I mean, even if he's a background character, because he'll just stand there in the background and make weird faces.
Look at him right now with his eyes and everything.
Exactly what he's thinking. And
he's
I love
so full of shit.
And for some reason, Thomas Lennon always looks like he's wearing, like, concealer or, like, highlighter around his eyes.
Okay. See, you know these actors. I know Shannon and McShane, but I don't know the rest of them. And Perlman, of course.
Well, you know Ron Perlman, yeah. Well,
but Thomas
Judy
Lennon,
Cruz,
I've never seen him in anything that I know of. I'm sure I've seen him.
Oh,
I never
yeah.
watched Reno. Well, 911.
Well, he has a tendency to play some really weird characters, so you've probably seen him in some stuff. Let's see.
So. I never really got, Steve Irwin. Now, when I was growing up, it was Marlon Perkins, okay, and Wild Kingdom. And that I liked.
Yeah.
You know, that was more nature type of thing.
Okay. So I don't know if you ever watched Santa Clarita Diet.
No, I've heard I should, but I never have.
Wonderful. I loved that one.
And he's so bad.
Oh, God, I know. Is awful.
I know. Okay, I think I want Celine Dion. Seriously.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Where's Mariah when you need her? I never thought I'd say that in my life. You know, I thought I was pissed off about losing Whamageddon, but I might be a little bit more upset by that. Lord. So, I mean, obviously you were asking me earlier if I had the chance to help my small town, but doing something like that, would I do it? Now, what I have to say is no, because I've seen too many of these kinds of movies where, like, you see what doing things like that and disrupting the order of, you know, the natural order of things really does. Like, I know the moral of this story, but I want to see how they get there.
Right.
So, no, I really don't think I would go out of my way to try and bring tourists to my
small town. I can understand why, though. I probably would if I thought it was going to help me, help the people around me in my town. I probably would. I'd be stupid for doing it, but I could understand
why. Oh, yeah. No, I can totally understand.
How many times? Well, wait a second. Well, I'll wait for that question.
Yeah.
Okay. How many times have you practiced this speech that you had to make? Rachel?
Yeah, I'm listening.
How many times have you practiced a speech with nobody there?
Oh, absolutely. Countless numbers of times. I also talk to myself a lot, so there's that.
Eyebrow threading.
See, and I'd almost say that comparing him to a Steve Irwin, like, I'm almost offended by that because Steve Irwin, like, I grew up with him, and it was really traumatic when he died because, I mean, he
oh, absolutely. And he was real.
Yeah, he was real and genuinely one of the, like, nicest, just critter-lovingest people in the whole world. So I would almost not say that it was a takedown of Steve Irwin, but that it's a
but
takedown.
But it's the Australian
Steve.
Accent and all of that, so don't think it's not. People would understand that as a reference as opposed to Marlon Perkins, which goes back to my generation.
Well,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, or we were talking on the show about Jacques Cousteau on the music show that we did. And how many people really remember Jacques Cousteau? People in my generation do, and of course, you're one of the few in your generation. You remember him because you caught him in school. But you know, I mean, that's the whole thing. If you're going to do a takeoff, it has to be of the generation of the people that you want to come see the film, because they'll get it, right? So tell me if you want to see the comeuppance of this character.
Oh yeah, well I am all for Just Desserts, even if it's the main character. Like, you need to get what's coming to you.
Oh, absolutely.
God, he is just making so much shit up. I would almost say it's more making fun of the ghost hunter type.
Yeah.
Because you have so many of those just over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Monster hunters and stuff.
Right.
That really makes
too bad John couldn't be with us today. John
well,
Killian,
I was
of course.
Say, it make people like John Killian, who are legitimately trying to research and prove or disprove these things. Like people like this do that community no favors.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You're way too close. Back off a little. Man.
So this whole part of it, you know, is really what they're doing is they're showing that people exploit situations and people. you know, and for their own gain, and they're being selfish. And that, to me, is one of the worst things, when people are exploit somebody else and being selfish.
By the way, if nobody noticed, he dropped his accent during that whole
thing. Yeah, he did. We're not going to catch instant berries. We're catching fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Roman with the thumbs up.
I know.
I swear, that cell looks like Bradford. It's not.
Been a native in a lot of touristy places, and that's kind of how it gets sometimes. Going from bad to worse.
Yep.
It's also very reminiscent of Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of that in this.
I had a friend, a late friend of mine, had a truck like that completely restored, and it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how many trucks like that were in Bradford, but shitloads. You can talk to TC about that.
Yeah, it had the wooden bed and everything, and, man, he had so many offers to buy that truck. Like, anywhere he stopped, people would be like, I will give you all of my money.
Yep. See, it's the difference between someone who's real and someone who isn't.
Well, it's funny that he's the realest person of them all, but he's totally faking them out.
Yeah.
That isn't an obvious conversation he's having with her.
No. You know, I haven't seen much of her either, where I recognize her. But I like all the actors in this film, even down to the small roles, like the stoner and the two women who bitch at each other. I think they really did a nice job with this. I think it's just a shame that this didn't hit its audience, because there's definitely an audience for this film. And God knows we got 400,000 of them at ISF.
With the bass.
Bigfoot Hometown. Okay, this was a part of the movie I did not see.
I love how he spends most of the movie just staring. He acts a lot of the film with his face.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of it, too. I mean, you take a look at our Aussie friend, and he's going a little over the top. You look at McShane's real. But Shannon shows most of his emotions through his face. And it's frustration. And he's really good at it.
Well, we were actually talking the other day, I can't remember which one it was, but the cinema of frustration.
Yes. Which I understand completely.
Yeah. I like
and
the
she
way
knows
now. It. Yeah. Of course, it's got to go wrong.
Not Jack.
Yeah, I don't care.
Of course, the producer has it easy getting a spa.
I love how he's going the extra mile just to fuck with him.
He's the grub. Oh, he is fucking with him, by the way.
Oh, I know. Gotta finish his poop. Yeah, and she's back there like, is he going to do it? How does she feel about him doing it?
Yeah. And, of course, she's the one that really cares about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Ha 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 ha! How can you not love McShane in this role? Seriously. Oh, she's trying to. So you're not getting the It's a Wonderful Life references. So anyone who has not seen It's a Wonderful Life, I would suggest watching it after this so that you get the whole point that this is a takeoff on it. It's about a guy who always tries to do the right thing for the town and always sacrifices himself and never gets anything for it.
Yeah.
Well, and I get that much. Like, I understand that part of it, but any of the deeper references, no, I don't get it all.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a Bigfoot softcore movie, and I forget what the name of it is, where Bigfoot is an alien, by the way. And yes, I know that I know a softcore movie that has Bigfoot in it. Scary, huh?
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And it's Canadian. This is weird.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
So, of course, the question is whether or not he's going to do it.
Right. And where do you think, you know, this is leaning? Because you didn't watch the whole movie. Have you seen any of this?
No, but I know where it's leaning because I did watch the end.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, when I previewed this, I hit like every 15 minutes and then see how they got it set up and what happens at the end. So I do know what happens at the end.
Okay.
Bigfoot scat. Boy, is he fucking with him. I love him. Herman's looks are great.
Yeah. He does play a really great doofy motherfucker.
Yes.
He's already done it.
A real
but
tear.
The question is, what does it say?
Exactly.
Is it a suicide note? Is he going to let the guys kill him?
You know, I like the different camera work, too.
It is interesting.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to love this shit.
Boners. Oh, God. That's why he wanted to go back.
One of us.
Yeah. Oh, my God. They know he's into it. He's into it. There we go.
Okay.
Wow. It doesn't work as a chicken. There you go. You never know until you've tried it. It may be your thing.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. That look on McShane's face is beautiful.
Yeah. Wow.
So, are you back on planet Earth yet or not?
No. This is way off in space. Yeah, this is definitely making fun of all those ghost hunters and stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
No offense to the ones who are actually
real.
Trying to do the thing, but yeah. I really like the scenery in this.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, you mentioned at the beginning it was, you know, a beautiful film. Even the cinematography here with its grays and whites, it stands out.
Yeah, and all the weird twisted branches and different kinds of foliage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh. Sorry, I'm not saying much. Like, how the fuck?
Because McShane knows it's somebody in a costume.
Well, yeah. I think he knows who it is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can make money recording that shit.
Yeah, really. We're a karaoke at the karaoke bar. Maybe sound yeah. better than you, asshole.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, he can't do that. They have the best insults in this. Aw.
No, you're already an idiot.
Oh, yeah. Not because of the furry thing. Like, you do you, man. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But, no, they were a bunch of idiots to begin with.
They're the only two that care.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is a direct callback to It's a Wonderful Life, what happens
yeah.
from here on in.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty bleak at this point.
Yeah. And, of course, It's a Wonderful Life is very bleak.
Yeah. Such a cute little house. Well, big house, but...
Well, that ain't a little house, trust me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I corrected myself.
And except for the...
That's a nice hanger rack.
Yeah.
Except it's missing all those knobs, but... Oh, he's just giving up the ghost. Yeah, there you go. You're shot at what?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's his fucking accounting book.
Exactly.
I knew that was going to come back out.
Exactly. That's why I said at the beginning, keep that in mind, that beginning scene.
Oh, no, I pay attention. Like, you don't have to remind me. But, yeah, I knew his ledger was going to come back into play because if they made so much of an effort to mention it in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Chekhov's gun is what they call that. If you see a gun at the beginning of
yeah.
the film, you know it's going to play out at the end of the film.
What a fucking MacGuffin there. No. Well, it wasn't a MacGuffin because it was finally
it's
revealed.
A Chekhov's gun. It's a Chekhov's gun. Yeah.
This is awesome. And she is drop-dead gorgeous, by the way.
Absolutely.
And I believe that actress is Christina Hendricks. which if it is, it's really nice to see her. Yeah, well, that is awesome because people have a tendency to over-accentuate her very large upper feature. So to see her completely covered up in a show and actually just acting, like, I like that because I think she's fantastic. I've seen her in a few shows, too. Oh, this is heartbreakingly cute.
Yeah. It's not like Klaus where it really, like, it gives you the cries, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's solid.
Yeah. Aww. I kind of like the feels right now.
They're the one gay couple. And it's not even mentioned.
No.
Which I like, by the way. We always talk about that.
I know. And again, you know, my feelings, I like when it's not made mention of, like when it's normalized.
Yeah.
I like the really specific apologies.
It's like that line from Blazing Saddles, sorry that I set up yours.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
This is a genuinely sweet movie. I did not expect that at all.
No. It is rated PG-13, so they didn't go for the sex.
Well, and I like that. Like, this is definitely my family's kind of Christmas movie, to be honest with you. Or at least for the older one.
Yeah.
No.
She misplays that.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Aw. I think she's pregnant in this movie.
Yeah, maybe. She gets hers.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Yep.
We got some genuine smiles.
And that's a direct line from It's a Wonderful Life, by the way.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Uh-oh. Okay, this is great. I'm guessing they're making like a Bigfoot museum or
exactly.
That works. I'd totally go to something like that.
Yeah.
Daddy got a job. It's like he's Santa Claus. Or the guardian angel.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You got it.
Yeah.
The image shade is Clarence.
Yeah. Okay.
That is amazing.
Did you enjoy that?
I absolutely did. I'm gonna have to show that to my eldest kiddo. I think they would love that as an anti-Christmas movie.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it really is a Christmas movie. I don't think that's an anti-Christmas movie because everything comes out in the end, and not only that, the template was already given by It's a Wonderful Life, which everybody considers a Christmas movie. Though many people don't realize that when that originally released, it was a failure at the box office. And so was this. So maybe this will take, maybe in a generation, this will be its version of It's a Wonderful Life. And personally, I would be more than okay with that.
I think I would be too. I was not expecting anything that happened in that. I mean, like, some of the storyline, yes, obviously, the guardian angel guy and all that. But when you hear about Pottersville and furries and Bigfoot and Christmas, like, I was not expecting such a genuinely sweet, well-put-together movie.
You know, and the other thing I should mention is that Pottersville is a direct quote of It's a Wonderful Life, because Potter is the evil banker. And
yeah.
Without George, he's shown like the Ghost of Christmas Future, that if George isn't there, George Bailey, then the town is renamed Pottersville and it's terrible. And that sort of thing. So that's a direct quote from It's a Wonderful Life. So you've got a very, very unique spin on that movie. And I think that's one of the reasons why this failed so spectacularly, because people didn't want to make that connection and thought it was horrible, because It's a Wonderful Life is such a classic. But
right.
I really like the way that they took this and took it in a new direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, as somebody who's never seen It's a Wonderful Life, like, I could help make this the next It's a Wonderful Life. This movie is great.
Yeah. And, of course, it has so many actors that you love. And now I'm going to be on the lookout for Christina Hendricks and everybody in it to see what else they've done.
And Judy Greer, yeah. Judy Greer's done a lot of, like, you know, small comedy roles.
Okay. But that's one of the things that I love about a new movie is you see new actors, and one of the things you want to do is, okay, so he was in this movie. What other movies was this person in? And that's the beauty of finding someone new, or a new director, or a new writer or actor, is that you have a whole new thread to spelunk and find and discover. And that's a wonderful thing. So there's
absolutely
a lot of wonderful things to discover in this film.
And I eventually would have found it just because Ron Perlman's in it. But, you know, the other people, that was like a major bonus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess it's time now for what we call what we call
housekeeping.
Housekeeping. So, okay. So the interesting thing is right now, so at this moment, it's Saturday, a week before Christmas, and we have three very special shows that are coming up. Tuesday is December 21st, and that is the anniversary of Frank Zappa's birthday. And on that show, we're going to be doing, Patrick Crane and I will be doing a sort of look at his career and music and that sort of thing, and we have a very special guest. There's a group called Sight After Dark. We do a lot of reaction videos, and Dan Berg from Sight After Dark will be with us. They do a ton of reaction videos from Frank Zappa, and both, and he's much younger than us. So we're going to be talking about how his legacy is transferred to a younger audience and what they think of him. And that's going to be a great show. And do you want to tell people what we're doing on Wednesday at 8 p.m.?
Wednesday at 8 p.m., we are doing what Carl is calling the our Christmas card from the Deviant Legion Network. And we're having a special holiday episode where all of us associated, hopefully, some of our people from outside networks like John and Limes and everybody in our network, including some of our background people like Josh, the graphic designer, and maybe Doc Sludge. Yeah, Eric. So, and we're all going to talk about, you know, our favorite holiday gift that we've given, that we've received, and if we could, what we would like to be able to give somebody. And that's just going to be our special catch-up and be spoopy for the holiday season show.
Absolutely. And then on Thursday, actually, we'll be released on Friday, Christmas Eve, but on Thursday, we'll be recording a show for Adam Ferenz and for Catholic Ray Mission, and that will be the show of Robert Altman's Tanner. And that was a TV show that premiered in 88 on HBO, and it's a faux documentary series on a presidential candidate. And it's an excellent series, and we're going to be talking about that series specifically and continue our talk on Altman in general. And that's going to be released on Christmas Eve. And so that's what we're doing. We've got a couple other shows in the works. One in particular is one that we're going to try to get together with John Killian on XP Plans with Tony Burgess, where we do a year in review. And we're also going to be doing a year in review also on Deviant Legion. So that's what we have planned. So that's what we got. And we're so glad that you were with us today to experience Pottersville. So one final word from Rachel. Just tell us what you thought of Pottersville. Did it make your day?
Well, absolutely. I'm going to be in a good mood for the rest of the day. And I've got some new Christmas songs to go look up and maybe play on the speakers at work tonight. So
there you go. And listen, folks, have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day and get ready for the Christmas season. And we'll see you next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right.
Well,
and there we go.
And good night.
And good night.